Welcome back to News and Views here at News Talk 1010 WCSI 98.1 FM. I'm News Director John Clark. News and Views is brought to you each week by the Columbus Area Railroad Club located in Johnson County Park. This morning we are talking with candidates for the Bartholomew Consolidated School Board. I am talking with James Persinger, who is the incumbent candidate in BCSC District 3. James, thanks for talking to us this morning.
Sure, thanks for having me.
James, just for our listeners, can you talk a little bit about your background and why you've decided to run again for school board?
Sure. Yeah, I moved to Columbus back in 2009 with my family, and my kids started going to BCSE schools at that time. At the time, I only had the two children, and they were both in elementary school, and been living in Columbus ever since. And 4 years ago, I decided to run for school board because there was an election coming up that just happened to be the district that I was living in. And I started to get kind of active and interested in politics, and school board seemed to be the best fit for me because education is something that I care deeply about. And it's also a double impact because the property taxes that we pay also go to the school board, and they have the final say of how that money gets spent. So I just wanted to voice my opinion and also be the person to represent everybody else in our community, and in particular the people in my district.
Anything about your education or occupation you want to mention?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a new projects engineer with Arvin Sengo. It's a automotive parts manufacturer, specifically exhaust components. I am in charge of a lot of the catalytic converter creations. I've been doing that for last 5 years, the last year and a half with Arvin Sengo, and 3.5 years before that with Persia.
So I think the biggest question for parents right now is, are our kids safe in school? What's your thoughts on the safety process that is in place?
The first and foremost in our minds when we make any kind of decisions having to do with whether to open school or really anything, is the safety and health of our students and teachers and staff. I do not believe, even with the objections that I had opening as early as we did, I don't believe that the administration, Dr. Roberts, or the rest of the school board members would have agreed to opening school back up if they didn't feel that there was a certain level of safety initially. And the ability of the teachers and staff and everybody in the school system to be able to achieve a continuous level of safety. My biggest concern is not particularly what happens inside the school buildings, but the kids don't live in the schools. They live out in the communities. They see other people. Their parents see other people. It's a lot of interaction with an airborne virus out. So that was where my big concern was, but I do believe that children and the teachers and the staff, with taking the precautions that we've put in place, are in a more relatively safe environment than they would be anywhere else.
So I know that the some parents have showed up at school board meetings concerned about transparency and when the district will pull the plug and decide to go virtual again. What's your thoughts on the transparency of the school district through this whole process?
I absolutely agree with the members of the community that voice those opinions. I voiced them myself in quite a few meetings that transparency should be without a doubt. It should not even be a question, honestly. I think any time that there's even a appearance of trying to hide something or trying to cover something up, you just lose the trust with the community that we honestly desperately need. I think that the administration could be a little bit more forthcoming about their expectations. And as far as the daily indicators go, that, spreadsheet chart they share with us every few days or every week, I think that they could be a little bit more clear in defining exactly what would constitute a shutdown and move to a virtual learning environment. but they have said time and time again that there is no clear defined, oh, we have this many red days or we have this many yellow and red combination, you know, whatever. They're not made any clear defined category as to what would trigger going back to a virtual environment. And I find that very frustrating, but that has been the stance the administration has taken and continues to take to today.
So in this pandemic situation where teachers are teaching both virtually and in the classroom, did teachers have the tools they need to succeed for our children?
I believe they have the tools that they need to successfully give our children the best quality education that they can. At the beginning, I do believe that there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of last minute hurrying once the decision was made of when we were opening back up and how we were opening back up and the flexibility options that were given to parents and students for what pathway they wanted to take, whether it be in person, bridge, or CVP. I think that left a lot of unanswered questions and a lot of unknowns out there for our teachers to have to handle in a short amount of time. I believe over the last 7-8 weeks that we've been in school, that the teachers have really stepped it up and really have gotten to a better place with their instruction. But I do think there are still areas where we need to improve.
So before the pandemic, the big concern was state funding for the schools and teacher pay. And obviously BCSC passed the referendum to increase teacher pay. Is your sense that the pay is where it needs to be for our educators?
Oh, no. In fact, and this wasn't made very public, but I was actually advocating for a higher increase of the tax rate when we were discussing the referendum originally. I believe that I was advocating for almost a quarter more than what was initially, it was actually passed. And I know that that would put me in, you know, a higher, you know, tax percentile as well. But I think our teachers are worth it. I don't think, even after the referendum, I don't think that they are sufficiently compensated for the hard work and dedication that they show us day in and day out and continue to do year after year. And I really don't think that there's any way that paying teacher salaries through tax dollars, through, you know, property tax dollars, there's ever going to be a way we can effectively pay them what they deserve.
So looking at the state of testing in Indiana, obviously the pandemic has changed things, and the teachers are not going to have the testing scores held against them. But going forward, I mean, what's your thoughts on how we're doing standardized tests in Indiana?
Just like we discussed 4 years ago, I'm absolutely against standardized tests. There's no one-size-fits-all that you can put into place to effectively measure how any given teacher is at effectively educating their children that are in their class. Children test different ways. They respond differently to testing. So children, you know, learn and demonstrate what they know in different ways. Some are audio, some are visual, some are a mix. And teachers are just as variable. They are more audio in their instruction. Some teachers can be more visual and have visual aids or, you know, props or whatever have you. I just don't think that there is a very competent one-size-fits-all standard test that you can give children to evaluate how well they're being instructed across the board. So I find the evaluation of a teacher's merit on a standardized test that's given to children all over the state, I don't find that to be very valuable. In fact, I find it to be very misleading in most cases.
Well, James, is there anything else that you'd like people to know about you and why you're running for office?
I guess the biggest thing is that I've said this since, you know, when I ran back in 2016, I continue to say it to this day. It doesn't matter what my personal view or my personal belief is on a subject that's brought in front of the board. What the community feels is best, and what, in particular, my constituents and my district whatever their majority opinion is the way that I will go. If I'm with them, great. If I have a difference of opinion, that doesn't matter because I am elected to represent them. So, and that's one reason why I was one of the two dissenting votes on going back to school at the time we did. I did happen to agree with that, but a majority of the constituents that emailed and called me told me that they weren't comfortable. They didn't feel that it was the right time. So when it came time to a vote, that's the way I voted. And I will continue to do that if elected for the next 4 years and however long the community decides to keep me in office.
We've been talking this morning with James Persinger, who is the incumbent in Bartholomew Consolidated School Board District 3 seat and a candidate coming up in the November election. James, thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.